Good morning and welcome to Health Matters, because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella and I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. Joining me this morning is my wife Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of A&T Healthcare of the Patient Services.
Good morning.
This morning we have a distinguished guest, and I'm very honored to welcome Congressman Chris Gibson, who is the Congressional District 19 of New York State. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on your busy schedule. I know Congress is in session, and you're able to give us some of your time.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you, and I also want to thank you for your dedicating some time to this very important public health issue.
Okay, absolutely. Our show is Health Matters, and what we do is we discuss healthcare issues that affect the people of New York State, especially in Orange County. Real quickly, I remember when I first met you, Congressman, that was up at, you were speaking at the Chamber of Commerce, and there was over 200 people were there. You were such a wonderful speaker. I'm trying to see if you can remember me. And you talked about Homeland Security, you talked about term limits, corruption, and Lyme disease, of course. But as I always say, this is a health-related program, so there are not going to be any such questions on Homeland Security or term limits or what have you. But what we are here is to discuss Lyme disease. Very briefly, before you start, could you tell us something about yourself, about the committees that you're on and the work that you do in Congress, and why did you pursue to become an elected official?
Well, thank you, Peter. And of course, I remember very well our conversation and appreciate the opportunity to be back with you. Indeed. Grew up in a working class family. And I was the first one ever to go to college, very fortunate on that score, had already enlisted in the United States military before I went to college. I was a private in the infantry in the New York Army National Guard, and I made the transition from enlisted man to officer at Siena College's ROTC program and went into the regular Army in 1986. Thought I'd serve 3 years, see the world, come back home. Well, sort of like Gilligan's Island, you know, that three-hour tour. Well, a three-year tour became 24 years, and I only got out 5 years ago, so it was a long run. Almost 30 years, 29 years total in uniform in the United States military, multiple combat tours in Iraq, peace enforcement mission in Kosovo, and also involved in a humanitarian operation in Haiti, ultimately commanding the 2nd Brigade of the 82nd Airborne Division. Some variegated experiences, too. In addition to being an infantryman, the Army at one point sent me off to Cornell University. I earned a PhD in government, and I taught government at United States Military Academy at West Point from 1995 to 1998. So, yes, I was actually a neighbor of yours. I lived in Highland Falls in Orange County.
That's great.
And so felt the calling. You know, here I was a brigade commander in the 82nd. In 2010, and next step would have been Brigadier General, but I felt a calling to come and do this service, to serve in the United States Congress, to help bring people together, to get things done for our country. And so I retired from the military, and I joke that I, you know, must have somehow ended up in Ripley's Believe It or Not, because I went from the highest esteemed public institution, the military, to the lowest esteemed public institution in the shortest amount of time. It was only 8 months and a day. But here I am, and I'm serving now. It was really just a calling to come out and do this. I'm proud of our team, our legislative record. We have indeed followed through on those promises. The Lugar Center came out with a study this morning that in terms of bipartisan record, I ranked number one in the United States House of Representatives. You can find that. It was covered in the New York Times this morning as well. So, you know, we're here today talking about public health, and we're talking about tick-borne diseases, including Lyme disease.
Right. Why is it, Congressman, could you tell our listeners, we have Congressman Chris Gibson from the 19th District of New York on. Could you please tell our listeners, why are you so committed for the treatment of Lyme disease?
It's constituent-driven. You know, when I got home from the Army in 2010, it seemed like I didn't go a day, or maybe it was just a couple days, somebody would grab my arm and say, you know, either they'd been personally affected by this, or they had a close family member or friend impacted by this. And so I had my staff orient on this issue, and we dug in, and we have learned so much about this. And so, you know, these constituents who approach me, they have really made a difference, because we have become a leader on this issue, along with Chris Smith from New Jersey, along with Sean Patrick Maloney from the Hudson Valley,
right.
And
mm-hmm. yes.
Joe Courtney from Connecticut, mm-hmm. and Peter Welch from Vermont,
wow.
on this issue. And so, you know, whether it be about better testing, how can it be that a country as great as ours, we don't have a test that picks up even half the cases of Lyme? We're working on better resources and research to do certainly better on that.
Mm-hmm.
The same with protection. Because, look, I mean, upstate New York, so much of our economy is based on tourism, mm-hmm. agritourism,
yeah.
and being outdoors. So we don't want people to shy away from
that. Yeah, go to the wineries,
to the
absolutely.
Contrary, we want people to, we would like to see more people come and visit the Hudson Valley and enjoy our climes and everything to do with that. So mm-hmm. we, all the more reason why we need to get to the bottom of this and bring forward cures and solutions for our tick-borne diseases and for our longtime chronic sufferers.
Wow.
So that brings me to, we've had some minor victories, some smaller victories in terms of increased research for better testing, but in some better prevention, by the way. It looks like we're going to have a product that will be commercialized that helps us sever the tie between ticks, deer, and people. And then finally, we need to see better solutions, treatment solutions for our chronic sufferers, and then ultimately do it in a way that doesn't cause people to go bankrupt. That's another
boy.
Issue that people have is the insurance company coverage for treatments is really inadequate. And what I have identified is it all derives from the guidelines that come out of the Centers for Disease Control, which in my view are too narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't recognize the chronic symptoms and condition of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. So we have a bill, H.R. 789, the Tick-Borne Disease Research
Transparency and Accountability
and Transparency Act.
And it was a standalone bill. And it was bipartisan, and as we all know, it's a daunting task to get something passed, and this is something that you were able to accomplish. But, you know, tell us more in that regard.
So thank you very much, Peter. And so it did pass last Congress, the United States House of Representatives, first time ever that we had a bill that dealt with tick-borne diseases, including Lyme, ever pass in the U.S. House. The problem was it didn't pass the Senate, so we're back at it again this Congress.
Right. All right.
And, you know, we're aggressively pursuing this. This bill requires the federal government to have a strategy, have a plan, and then a strategy, a resourcing strategy, to deal with that plan. And in the process, it forms a working group that includes non-federal partners. This is so critically important because by requiring diverse scientific viewpoints, we're going to be able to get our research that shows the chronic Lyme and the other tick-borne maladies. Once we get this published, when I've pressed the Centers for Disease Control in the past, say, how come you're not changing the guidelines? They say, well, you know, if the science pointed to the changes, we'd change the guidelines.
Wow.
But the problem is this, is that the science is already out there, but we've had a difficulty in getting it published. Because they use an anonymous process or referee journals to get it published, and there are forces that are really trying hard not to see this research published. So what we're helping at the federal level is putting transparency on this entire
mm-hmm.
process,
right.
requiring diverse scientific viewpoints, and when we get this published, we believe it will not only lead to broadening of the guidelines, which will help with treatment protocols, but it'll also help with insurance company coverage, because when I've pressed the insurance companies, how come you're not paying for more of it? They say, well, you know, if it was approved care,
right.
we'd pay for more of it. See, this is why it all goes back to the guidelines and why it's so important to pass H.R. 789, as it did last Congress in the U.S. House, but this time to get it through both the House mm-hmm. and the Senate, get it on the president's desk, and have his signature.
Wow, that's great. We have Congressman Chris Gibson on the line with us for Health Matters. This is Anti-Healthcare and Health Matters. I have a question about with all the research. Congressman, what about you are the co-chairman, honorary co-chairman of the Lyme Next Forum at Skidmore College. Could you tell us about, there was like 500 attendees. Could you tell us a little bit about that particular
Absolutely.
Event?
Thank you for asking about that. And I alluded to this earlier in my interview here when I said that this issue has been constituent-driven and right from the very beginning. So I was approached by a series of activists, and to put more of a focus on the issue, they made a request of me. They said, would you help organize a conference where we can bring together experts and allow those that are in this community that are suffering from tick-borne diseases, including chronic Lyme, to come and have the opportunity to rally together and to learn more. Mm-hmm. And so we did this. We put this together. It was highly successful, well over 500, mm-hmm. maybe as many as 600 renowned experts in the field. And not surprisingly, a lot of the experts on the leading edge of so much of this research come from our area, because this is really the epicenter for wow. Lyme disease. Yeah, and so, you know, this was very successful in because it was very scientific, it was methodologically sound, a series of presentations. We actually, surprising to many, I was able to inspire an insurance company to come.
We're talking to Congressman Chris Gibson, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that conference at Skidmore College.